And good morning. I am Pastor Kathy Hart. I'm the associate minister here, and we're so glad that you are here on this Valentine's Day Eve. This is the month of love for February, and in fact, the Hallmark Channel has dubbed this not February, but it's Love-uary. So happy Love-uary, everybody. And this is love. God is love. So it's a wonderful topic to talk about in the month of February. We have been in, this is week two of our series on how do I love? And the focus of this series is how do we love God? How do we show God that we love him? Jesus gave us the commandment, the greatest commandment, is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And so last week, Pastor Keith shared with us one way that we can show God that we love him, and that is by doing what he asks us to do. What does the Lord require of you but to do what is right, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with him? But today we're going to talk about something, another way that we can show God that we love him. And the emoji for today is the hug emoji. So it's, you know, love yourself. Give yourself a hug this morning. Everybody give yourself a hug. This is the care emoji. We're going to be able to care for one another and show God that we love him by how we care for one another. Now, this comes from, Jesus kind of told us this right off the bat, because he gave it very clearly what he wants us to do when he was meeting with the disciples at the beach. This is after the resurrection, and they're all hanging out, and they're continuing to learn from him, and they're eating, and they're having fish for breakfast. Not my favorite thing, but that's, they're fishermen. They can have fish for breakfast. And so they're having this wonderful time together, and Jesus takes Peter, and he says, Peter, come with me. And he tells Peter, or he asks Peter a question, and he asks the same question three times. He says, Peter, do you love me? And we're going to focus this morning on that second time that he asks him. But this is also when Jesus was arrested, Peter denied Jesus three times. So he restores Peter three times by asking these questions. Peter, do you love me? But we're going to look at verse 16, because verse 16 talks about care. And he says, Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And Peter responds, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And what does he say? Jesus said, take care of my sheep. Take care of my people. This is what Jesus says. If you love me, you will care for my people. So it's another clear word in scripture of how we are to show God that we love him, to take care of one another. And Jesus told the people, this great commandment was to love the Lord, and this is one way to do it. And he also said that there's a second commandment, to love your neighbor as yourself. So as we look at scripture this morning, we're going to look at John chapter 13, verse 34. And at first glance, this might sound like a restatement of what Jesus has already taught us. It says, now I'm giving you a new commandment. Love each other. As I have loved you, so you should love one another. Love your neighbor, love one another, but is it really the same? Let's take a little look at this, but I want to give you a little bit of history before. What has happened prior to Jesus saying this? In chapter 13 of the Gospel of John, Jesus is in the upper room with the disciples, and they're having the Passover meal together. And this is the time when Jesus breaks the bread, passes it around, and says, take this, this is my body. Do this in remembrance of me, like we do at communion. And then he took the cup and he passed it and said, drink this. This is the blood of the new covenant. And while that was all going on, Jesus said, one of you is going to betray me. And they were all shocked. One of us, one of the 12, one of our beloved community that we have together is going to betray Jesus. It's going to change our community forever. And at that moment, Judas gets up and he leaves. And Jesus continues talking and teaching. And the next thing that he says to the disciples is he says, I am not going to be with you much longer. So now he said, somebody's going to betray me. And now you're leaving? You're leaving us too? Jesus, we don't want you to go anywhere. We need you. We love traveling with you and teaching and learning and watching you perform miracles and helping people. You can't leave too. And that sets up this new commandment. And Jesus says, a new commandment I give to you, love one another. So this context gives us a different view. He knew that they needed to love each other, that they needed to support each other and care each other because he was going to leave. He wasn't going to be with them anymore, and they needed to support each other. And then he says this in verse 35. Jesus says, your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. How you love each other will be a witness to the world. Tertullian is a first century theologian, and he wrote that once he heard the pagans, the non-believers of his time, say of the Christians of his day, see how they love one another. See how they love one another, those Christians. I wonder what the non-believers of today would say about Christians. What is the witness that we give to the world? Gandhi once said, and this, when I heard this, it stuck with me. Gandhi said, I like your Christ. I do not like your Christians. Your Christians are so unlike your Christ. Ow. We are a witness to the world in how we are in community with one another. This commandment that Jesus gives us is about how we are to care for each other. And in caring for each other, we are a witness in a ministry to the world, and we are showing God that we love him. And Jesus told us to love our neighbors and to love our enemies. I would say that there are times where loving the enemies is probably easier than loving those that we are closest to, because we don't have to deal with them every day. In our family, in our community, in our workplace, sometimes it's a little harder to care for and to love one another. And Jesus knew that. He knew that it was difficult for us sometimes to be together all the time and to be loving all the time. So he gives us this new commandment. Love each other as I have loved you. Well, how does Jesus love? I'm going to talk to you about four ways that Jesus shows love. And these are from commentator William Barclay. And he says, selflessly, understandingly, forgivingly, and sacrificially. So in selfless love, Jesus loves us with no strings attached. You know, it doesn't matter how good we think we are or how good we try to be and love unconditionally, we as humans always ask, whether it's consciously or not, what's in it for me? Jesus never asked that question. He loved without thought of self. And he loved understandingly. He spent time with his disciples. He knew them intimately, and he knows each and every one of you intimately. But we as humans tend to make assumptions or judgments without fully knowing the whole story. And everybody has a story. We don't know what's going on in anybody's life. Everybody's struggling, but very often, maybe their actions or their words or their behavior, we go, that didn't feel very loving or caring. But when we seek first to understand and try to see where that person is coming from and get to know them, build relationship with them, then we're able to love with their weaknesses and their strengths. St. Francis is one of my favorite theologians, and I just quoted him, but in his Prayer of Peace, he says, "Seek first to understand, then be understood. Look for the good in people." Look for the God in people. We are all created in the image of God, and if we look for that first, then we will find understanding. Jesus loved forgivingly. Peter denied him. Judas betrayed him. We have turned from him from time to time. And yet he forgives us. He loves us and he forgives. I was at a workshop back in January, and there were two pastors who were talking about conflict among church staff. That never happens, right? And these two pastors were friends. They'd been working together for a very long time, and what they said was, long-term friendship, when you see long-term friendship, you're seeing two great forgivers. Forgiveness builds community and love and trust. Any long-term friendship is the story of two great forgivers. And finally, sacrificially. Jesus loved us sacrificially. He gave his life for us. That's how he showed love. And we are called to love like Jesus. Denying ourself, putting away our selfish desires so that we can love and care for one another. Now, to love one another as Jesus loves does not automatically translate to one believer's death for another. Nor does it mean to deny oneself for others. I found this in another commentary. And it struck me, because that's what we always hear. We love sacrificially. Lay down your life for one another. But there's another way. And it says, rather, to love one another as Jesus loves us is to live a life thoroughly shaped by a love that knows no limits. Think about that for a moment. To shape your life by a love that knows no limits. What love is that? That is the love God has for each one of us. And if our life is shaped by that kind of love, that's how we love one another. And it goes on to say, by a love whose expression brings the love that carries with it a whole new concept of the possibilities of community. When we shape our life by love, this unlimited love that comes from God, it produces unlimited possibilities for our community of faith. That's how we love. There's a South African philosophy called Ubuntu. It's just a fun word to say, Ubuntu. And Ubuntu means I am because we are. We are one body in Christ Jesus. I am because we are. We are one in Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world. That's what Paul is talking about in 1 Corinthians 12 when he talks about the body of Christ. Archbishop Desmond Tutu says this about Ubuntu. A person with Ubuntu is open and available to others, affirming of others, does not feel threatened when others are able and good, for he or she has the proper self-assurance that comes from knowing that he or she belongs to the greater whole, the one body, and is diminished when others are humiliated or diminished. In 1 Corinthians 12, 26, Paul says something very similarly. He says, when one part of the body suffers, all suffer. And when one part is honored, all the parts are glad. And I want to take a moment to dive into this section of 1 Corinthians 12. Because we are the body of Christ. We are Ubuntu. We are one. We are all baptized by one Spirit into this one body. And what Paul is talking about is he compares the body of Christ to the human body. That there are many, many parts. And no one part is any more important than the other part. But the care for each part is different. Not everybody can be a hand, not everybody can be a foot, not everybody can be a heart, not everybody can be the brain. But all together, we make up the body of Christ. And then starting in verse 22, Paul says this. In fact, some parts of the body that seem weakest and least important are actually the most important. He is talking about the physical human body, but he is also talking about the body of Christ. Some only seem weak and less important. We could probably name some of the people who are struggling right now in our congregation who need more care and support. Paul goes on to say in verse 23, and the parts we regard as less honorable are those we clothe with the greatest care. So we carefully protect those parts that should not be seen, while the more honorable parts do not require this special care. So God has put the body together such that extra honor and care are given to those parts that have less dignity. In these verses, Paul is talking about the private parts of the body that need to be covered, but they are no less important than the whole, and they require different care. Some members of the body of Christ, though they are different, they need more care than another, but they are part of the whole. And then in verse 25, it says this, this makes for harmony among the members so that all the members care for each other. I want to say that one again. This makes for harmony among the members so that all members care for each other. Jesus gave us a new commandment to love one another, to care for one another. He told Peter, take care of my sheep. This is how we show God that we love him. And in Ubuntu, in the body of Christ, all are equal. There is great diversity. And diversity sometimes brings division. Sometimes it brings unity. Diversity leads to disunity when members compete with one another. Think about that for a moment. When we're vying for our opinion, for our position, we bring disunity to the body. But, this is from Warren Wiersbe, he says, diversity leads to unity when members care for one another. We are called by Jesus and given a commandment to care and to love for one another. But friends, we fall short every day. We're human. We say things, we think things, we do things that show disrespect to our fellow believers. What is that witness to our world? Paul wrote words of warning to many of the churches, to the Corinthian church, to Galatians, to Colossians, and to the church at Ephesus. And I want to share with you some of those words because he said, when we act in this way, it grieves the Holy Spirit. So hear these words from Ephesians 4, starting in verse 12, sorry, 29. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is good for building up others according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. You know, we never know who's listening. How are our words and conversations building up and caring for the community? It's those water cooler conversations, or maybe it's the holy grounds conversations. How are we talking about one another and our community? And how are we witnessing to being a caring community that Christ has called us to be? Do not grieve the Holy Spirit, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. But here it is. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. This is what it means to be a caring community. Kindness, compassion, forgiveness, and care. Our vision at PHUMC, at Palm Harbor United Methodist Church, is to lead people to a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. And as we have heard, how we act in community with one another is a great witness. I want the Tertullians of Palm Harbor to say of non-believers, to non-believers about Palm Harbor United Methodist Church, see how they love one another. I want to be a part of that. Amen? Now, I want to share with you, I have been here at Palm Harbor United Methodist Church. This is going to be my 16th year. And in that 16 years, I have experienced this as a very caring church. Over that 16 years, I've received care personally when I had health issues and when my parents died. And I have witnessed you loving one another when each other are going through things. I've watched you walk alongside people who've lost loved ones, who've gone through horrific illness. We are a caring community. But we're not perfect. We're moving on towards perfection. We can still grow and improve. And I have to share that there are times the Holy Spirit convicts me of what we just read in Ephesians. We are all in the process of transformation, this life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. But I want the community around us to see this place as something they want to be a part of because we care so deeply for one another. Now, congregational care, caring for one another, Jesus said, love each other. It's everybody's job. It's not just the pastor's job. You've got two. There's a lot of you. And we can't do it all. In fact, in Exodus, there's a great story about this. Jethro, who is Moses' father-in-law, comes to visit, and he spends a day in the life with Moses, and he watches him go to work. And as Moses is sitting there, and there's line upon line upon line of people who are coming before Moses so that he can take care of their problems. Moses is caring for all of the people, and by the end of the day, he's exhausted. So he comes home, and Jethro's watching all this, and so he says, so, Dad, what'd you think? How'd you like the day? What'd you observe? And Jethro, being the wise father-in-law, gives his son-in-law some really sound advice. You know, Moses, what you're doing is all wrong. What? I'm caring for the people. No, you keep doing that, you're going to burn out, and you're going to burn out all your people. All the way at the end of the line, that last person who had to wait all day to get their concerns just built up and built up and built up. You need help. Well, we have a wonderful care ministry here at Palm Harbor United Methodist Church. But it's not their job either. All of you, every single person sitting in here, and everybody home online who are watching from wherever it is that you are part of the care team at Palm Harbor United Methodist Church. And I thank you for that. But we have a care team that has been trained to listen, to pray with you, to be present with you as you walk through the difficulties, and to support one another. And that's what it's all about. We are here to help and to support you. And I'm going to ask the care team to come up in just a few minutes, but here's what care I envision will look like. That we have lots of small groups, and you guys are a community in and of yourself. The praise band is a community in itself. We've got lots of little communities, and you do a great job taking care of one another. Many of you know that Marilyn King has been our congregational care coordinator for many years, but maybe you didn't know, Marilyn retired in July. We have been looking at and redesigning and tweaking how we go about caring for the people in our congregation. And Marilyn is still a very active member of that. She's one of our care ministers as a volunteer now. But I am now the point person for congregational care. And I would like all the small groups, all the different ministry groups, to have a point person that I can communicate with when there's a care need in your group. And our care ministry team is going to come forward now. And these folks, these individuals, are here to support you as you care for your people. And they're here to care for those who don't have a group. You don't plug in anywhere. If you have a need, please call the church and let us know. And we will do our best to be with you, to walk alongside you, to love you. If you guys will come up here on the step. These are a few of our care ministries. We prayed and commissioned a few of the others at the first service this morning, but I want you to have, Ellen, if you'll come on down to the first step here. There we go, so we can be behind you. I want you to have faces to put, and faces and names, so that you can know who to go to when you need care.
Yeah, these are the people who are the hands and feet of Jesus. These people have answered the call. In fact, these people have been cared for themselves and now know the value of giving care to others. And we're thankful for that. And we know that this is an important ministry of our church. And as you're sitting in your pew, I want you to raise out your hand as we commission and pray that they be filled even more so with the Spirit. Let's pray together. Gracious and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that these people have heard you speak to them, whether it be through care from others, whether it be through them being cared for, being spoken to by you. We ask, Lord God, that even more so, that these people would know your power in their hearts and in their minds, that you would be Jesus to others through them caring. We commission our care ministry, care team to you, Lord, and to those here at Palm Harbor. May they know your touch. May they know that you are present. May they know your love through how they care. We ask this all in your precious and powerful name, and everybody said,